Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Events in our Krishna conscious histories. Of course, it is mainly, or at least not mainly, but best known for the connection with Lord Ram, Sita Ram, Lakshmana, and Hanuman. And it is said to be the time that Lord Ram and Sita and Lakshmana returned to Ayodhya, having killed Ravana and rescued Sita. And the exile period having finished, and indeed, just in a couple of minutes or so, we're going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam from the 9th canto about the return of Lord Ram to Ayodhya. But it's also well known, or somewhat known, for some other very important events. This is the day Lord Krishna killed Narakasura, who was a big demon, very powerful, important demon, that is described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how the Lord killed Narakasura, who was actually the son of Lord Varaha and Bhumi, Narakasura. But somehow he got into bad company. It's described there. I think it's in the Krishna books. It's described there that he got into the association of Banasura somehow. Got into the association of Banasura, who's also a big, big demon, who is also described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and indeed Lord Krishna kills him too. So, just see the power of association. Whoever you accept the association of, you become influenced by them, you become like them. Accept the association means that you listen and you absorb what they have to say, and their attitudes and their energies like that. Of course, we go preaching Krishna consciousness regularly. Many of us should go more regularly. And under those circumstances, we're also associating with the people in the streets, or going to people's houses and so on. And we're meeting with people and speaking with them. But in that sort of situation, we're not really accepting, absorbing their energy and what they have to say, their association, but rather we are giving them, or we should be, trying to give them Krishna conscious association, give them our association. So anyway, Narakasura, being the son of Lord Varaha, and Bhumi, who is an extension of Srimati Radharani via Satyabhama, well, just goes to show family connections are definitely not all in all. If you're just born in some family, it by no means says that you will just be like that. So yes, he's the son of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Bhumi is an extension of Radharani. But still, he became a really first-class demon, a major demon. And indeed, his name, Narak Asura, Narak means hell. And Asura, of course, means demon. So Narakasura means, his name means, he is a demon from hell. How would you like to have a name like that? What's your name? My name is Demon from Hell. Anyway, so the Lord killed him also on the Diwali day. And then the Diwali day is also important, very important, because this is the actual day that the Damodar pastime took place on. Yeah. This whole month, lunar month of Kartik, the Damodar month, we are focusing on that pastime and offering lamps every day to the Lord as Damodar. So the whole month is dedicated to the Damodar Leela. Krishna stealing the butter, being captured by Mother Yashoda, and then tied up. Yes, famous pastime. So this also, the actual Leela itself, happened on the Diwali day. So that's certainly extremely significant. So, but like I said, it is best known, at least amongst the devotees, it is best known as the day of the return of Lord Ram. So I thought we could focus on that a little and read some of the relevant verses from the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 10, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. And we'll read a number of verses beginning with verse 32. I will just read the translations actually in English, but for this first verse, let me read the Sanskrit. Arogya Rurya Yana Bratribyam Hanumad Yata Vivishanaya Bhagavan Dafaraksho Ganeshatam Lankam Ayush Chikalpantam Yayo Chirna Vrata Purim. After giving Vibhishan the power to rule the Rakshasa population of Lanka for the duration of one kalpa, Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, placed Sita Devi on an airplane decorated with flowers and then got on the plane himself. The period for his living in the forest having ended, the Lord returned to Ayodhya, accompanied by Hanuman, Sugriva, and his brother Lakshmi. So we begin with this verse, and it's interesting because Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, is completely authentic and it is completely, by authentic I mean particularly, it is completely preserved. Many of the Vedic literatures are not perfectly preserved, their parts missing. And in some cases, there's lots missing. In some cases, it's not really perhaps a matter of there being parts missing, but in some cases, there are different versions. Yeah. And for that matter, Ramayana, although extremely sacred literature, is one of those Vedic literatures of which there are quite a number of different versions, meaning basically it's the same text, but in certain pastimes, certain different events which occurred in different versions, you find, well, different versions of that particular pastime. Yes, there's a lot like that. And for example, there is the popular idea that Lord Ram worshipped Lord Shiva before crossing to Lanka, before crossing the ocean. But not all the different versions of Ramayana, and I mean Valmiki Ramayana, we're not talking about Tulsidas at all, but actual different versions of Valmiki Ramayana, a number of them don't mention that, but some do. So it's all, you know, there are a number of places where you get these types of conflicts of description and so on like that. And this is at least one of the reasons why the BBT has never translated and printed Ramayana, because they couldn't decide which version to use. There are other reasons. Yes. But because we know that Srimad Bhagavatam is, on one hand, complete, there's nothing missing, but on the other hand, it really is the actual Srimad Bhagavatam, and there's not been additions, subtractions, changes like this, but it's actually been retained in its real original condition. So that therefore, the version, when you find in other Vedic literatures their descriptions of this or that different things, then we accept and we really emphasize the version which is found in Srimad Bhagavatam, because the other versions, it may not be. Anyway, whatever Srimad Bhagavatam describes about anything, we accept that. So, yes, it's only two chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, the pastimes of Lord Ram, whereas Ramayana is 110,000 verses. It's big, really big. Yeah, so not that we're saying that at all, that everything which is there all the different versions of Dominique Ramayana that they're good. It's all questionable, not like that, but certainly we know whatever is described in the Bhagavatam is definitely accurate and authentic completely. And in that regard, it's interesting to note here that Lord Ram, Sita, Lakshman, yeah, they returned from Lanka on an aeroplane. On an aeroplane. That's what it says right here. So much for the idea of Lord Ram, you know, like whatever, walking or travelling on the ground, and, you know, therefore Diwali with every pass through some area, and that area may celebrate Diwali on this day or that day. But actually the authentic description here in Srimad Bhagavatam is that he went on an airplane all the way back to Ayodhya. So let's read some more verses. It's very nice actually. I'll just read the translations. When Lord Ramachandra returned to his capital, Ayodhya, he was greeted on the road by the princely order, who showered his body with beautiful, fragrant flowers, while great personalities like Lord Brahma and other demigods glorified the activities of the Lord in great jubilation. Upon reaching Ayodhya, Lord Ramachandra heard that in his absence, his brother Bharat was eating barley cooked in the urine of a cow, covering his body with the bark of trees, wearing matted locks of hair, and lying on a mattress of kusha. The most merciful Lord very much lamented this. When Lord Bharat understood that Lord Ramachandra was returning to the capital, Ayodhya, he immediately took upon his own head Lord Ramachandra's wooden shoes and came out from his camp at Nandigram. Lord Bharat was accompanied by ministers, priests, and other respectable citizens, by professional musicians vibrating pleasing musical sounds, and by learned Brahmins loudly chanting Vedic hymns. Following in the procession were chariots drawn by beautiful horses with harnesses of golden rope. These chariots were decorated by flags with golden embroidery and by other flags of various sizes and patterns. There were soldiers bedecked with golden armor, servants bearing betel nut, and many well-known and beautiful prostitutes. Many servants followed on foot, bearing an umbrella, whisks, different grades of precious jewels, and other paraphernalia befitting a royal reception. Accompanied in this way, Lord Bharat, his heart softened in ecstasy, and his eyes full of tears, approached Lord Ramachandra and fell at his lotus feet with great ecstatic love. After offering the wooden shoes before Lord Ramachandra, Lord Bharat stood with folded hands, his eyes full of tears, And Lord Ramachandra bathed Bharat with tears while embracing him with both arms for a long time. Accompanied by Mother Sita and Lakshman, Lord Ramachandra then offered his respectful obeisances unto the learned Brahmins and the elderly persons in the family, and all the citizens of Ayodhya offered their respectful obeisances unto the Lord. The citizens of Ayodhya, upon seeing their king return after a long absence, offered him flower garlands, waved their upper cloths, and danced in great jubilation. O King, Lord Bharat carried Lord Ramachandra's wooden shoes. Sugriva and Vibhishan carried a whisk and an excellent fan. Sit down, relax. The sun will be in due course. I don't know if you're fasting for Diwali. Only eating sweets. Let me just read this status verse again. O King, Lord Bharat carried Lord Ramachandra's wooden shoes. Sugriva and Vibhishan carried a whisk and an excellent fan. Hanuman carried a white umbrella. Shatrughna carried a bow and two quivers. And Sita Devi carried a water pot filled with water from holy places. Angada carried a sword, and Jambavan, king of the rishis, carried a golden shield. O King Parikshit, as the Lord sat on his earplane of flowers, again his earplane, O King Parikshit, as the Lord sat on his airplane of flowers, with women offering him prayers and reciters chanting about his characteristics, he appeared like the moon with the stars and planets. Thereafter, having been welcomed by his brother Bharat, Lord Ramachandra entered the city of Ayodhya in the midst of a festival. When he entered the palace, he offered obeisances to all the mothers, including Kaikeyi and the other wives of Maharaj Dasarath, and especially his own mother, Kaushalya. He also offered obeisances to the spiritual preceptors, such as Vasishtha. Friends of his own age and younger friends worshipped him, and in return their respectful obeisances, as did Lakshman and Mother Sita. In this way, they all entered the palace. Upon seeing their sons, the mothers of Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, immediately arose, like unconscious bodies returning to consciousness. The mothers placed their sons on their laps and bathed them with tears, thus relieving themselves of the grief of long separation. The family priest or spiritual master, Vasishtha, had Lord Ramachandra cleanly shaved, freeing him from his matted locks of hair. Then, with the cooperation of the elderly members of the family, he performed the Abhishek bathing ceremony for Lord Ramachandra with the water of the four seas and with other substances. And just as it was performed for King Indra, Lord Ramachandra, fully bathed and his head clean shaven, dressed himself very nicely and was decorated with a garland and ornaments. Thus he shone brightly, surrounded by his brothers and wife, who were similarly dressed and ornamented. Being pleased by the full surrender and submission of Lord Bharat, Lord Ramachandra then accepted the throne of the state. He cared for the citizens exactly like a father. And the citizens, being fully engaged in their occupational duties of Varna and Ashram, accepted him as their father. So let us say a few words here. This very beautiful description, the return of Lord Ram in his aeroplane, mentioned twice. Yeah. So a very amazing occasion. Separation from the Supreme Personality of the Godhead is very amazing thing. We've all felt some separation before. We've all lost some family member, perhaps has passed away, or someone has moved away to some other, maybe some other country, and then we don't see them again. So, like this, everyone has felt some separation, and I think we all know that in those special cases, with those particular people who were very, very close to us and who really played important parts in our lives, that when we became separated from them, we felt it very strongly. And for some time, it's on the mind very strongly, and it can be a very turbulent type of experience, even for a long time. So that happens just when we're separated from some conditioned soul, some ordinary person who just happens to be perhaps a close relative or someone we have had a stronger connection with. So just imagine, though, being separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead for some time. Lord Chaitanya talks about this, of course, in Shikshastika. Yugayitam nameshena chakshusha praveshayitam shudyayitam jagat sarvam govinda virahe name. That when I'm separated from you, my Lord, he's referring to Krishna actually, and he's speaking in the Buddha Radharani, when I'm separated from you, my Lord, then a moment becomes, Prabhupada translates, like 12 years or more. The actual Sanskrit word used is yuga. Yugayitam nimeshena. Nimesh means fraction of a second. Perhaps a 16th of a second is just next to nothing. Yugayitam nimeshena. That when I'm separated from you, my Lord, then even a fraction of a second seems like such a long period of time. And the whole world seems vacant in your absence. And Prabhupada, in commenting on that particular verse, Prabhupada makes the point that it happens to people, just again talking about ordinary people, that somehow they get separated from someone and it's just so distressing that sometimes they find it intolerable and they kill themselves. Yes. Romeo and Juliet. I forget which one, but one thought the other one was dead, but the other one was not dead, but they thought. So they killed themselves, and the other one, who was not dead, then came back to consciousness and saw that one was dead and killed themselves. And this is sort of the classic case, at least in Western culture, Romeo and Juliet. Yes. So Prabhupada's talking about this, that shunyaitam jagat sarvam. The whole jagat, the whole world, appears like shunya, zero, empty, nothing, there's nothing there. It's the same world as usual, but now, feeling separation, one just doesn't even notice. So the whole world seems vacant. It's very, the separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead is an extremely powerful thing. Of course, we here, we are separated from the Lord. We are separated. We were with Him, but we went AWOL, absent without leave. We left. So we are separated from the Lord, but we are not feeling that separation. What to speak of the separation that Lord Chaitanya is talking about? We're not even feeling separation like from some relative or ordinary person who we lost. We're not feeling any separation, really. We have forgotten. And we're just thinking that this material world is my home and I must make the most of it, and this is very nice. Yes, but actually we're separated from the Lord. And as the devotee progresses in Krishna consciousness, they become more and more aware of this and feel it more and more. Yes, as the devotee progresses, the devotee feels, realizes, wow, I'm actually separated from the Lord. It's a very serious situation. So that feeling arises. So when Lord Ram went into exile, of course, his stepmother, Kaikeyi, she wanted her son, Bharat, to become the king. And she thought, in her very misguided and very confused way, she thought that when she told Bharat that it is your lucky day, I have arranged, you are going to be the king and Ram will be exiled. She thought he would become very happy, but he did not become happy. He became devastated in the extreme. And he ruled, but it's mentioned here, his camp at Nandigram. This place is near Ayodhya in the vicinity. He didn't live in in the palace. He just lived in a, like an ashram situation. And we read that he lived very simply. He was using a kusha mat as his mattress. Means just a grass mat. No mattress, really. And he was eating barley cooked in cow urine. So, in other words, he was living a very austere life. He was not living the royal life at all. On the throne, he left those shoes of Lord Ram. And he was living outside, and he was managing the kingdom, but without the trappings, completely without the trappings. And he was feeling that separation from Lord Ram very, very profoundly. So now here we read that now Lord Ram, well, from Lanka, he and Sita and the others got on a flower aeroplane and returned to Ayodhya. Interesting thing, I read a little while ago that Ravan kidnapped Sita, or really the Maya Sita. But she, you know, she was a very convincing sort of duplicate. So Ravan was, he had like, you could say, a fixation, an obsession with Sita. Even though he had many wives or just many women, he had a whole many of them. And all of them, every one, he had chosen personally because they were extremely highly qualified, and particularly very, very outstandingly beautiful. This was his whole idea. Enjoy beautiful women. So, even though he had a whole collection of them, many dozens and dozens and dozens, but he kidnapped Sita, and he became so focused on Sita, like we mentioned, it became like a fixation, an obsession. Yes. You know, sometimes people develop obsessions to different degrees with different things. Even you may have had the experience of hearing some popular song and it sort of got into your head and just going around and around in your head. And after a while you realized that it had sort of got hold of you and you just couldn't stop that song going around in your head. So something like that, Ravan had developed a total obsession with Mother Sita. Even though he had so many other women exceptionally beautiful, but he just forgot all about them. And he just was focused on Sita. Therefore it's described that he attained a state which you could call Sita consciousness. But just like, in a sense, just like Kamsa, in his last days, he became obsessed, fixated on Krishna himself. And all they could hear was Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And he'd lie down to sleep, but he couldn't sleep because there was just a voice in his head, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. 24 hours a day. And we might think, when will that day be mine? When I will not be able to sleep because I'm really just thinking of Krishna so much. So Ravan, in his way, he was in the seat of consciousness. And so, in that sense, when someone is really focused really focused on another person, sometimes we say that person is in their heart. In their heart. So it was like Sita was in the heart of Ravan. Of course, his mood was lusty, simply. His mood was not at all devotional, but one way or the other, he was completely focused on Sita. Sita was in his heart. So the description we heard of a little while ago was that when finally Lord Ram confronted Ravana on the battlefield on the last day, Lord Ram was firing arrows at the ten heads of Ravana, and hitting, every time he was hitting the head that he was aiming at, and the head would just be removed, gone, by the impact of the Lord's arrow. But then another head would pop back. And it was just going on and on like this. So the description is that all this time, Ravan was thinking of Sita. While his heads were being shot off and popping back one after the other. But after some time, Ravan became angry because of all these arrows in his heads and everything. He became angry and he forgot Sita. He became angry with Lord Ram. He forgot Sita. And when Lord Ram understood that Ravan had forgotten Sita, then he fired the Brahmastra at the heart of Ravan. Because now Sita was not in the heart of Ravan. Because transcendental personalities, you think of them, they're there. Yes, so in this way, Ravan was killed. Then they returned to Ayodhya, and there's this very amazing reception, extremely briefly described, of course, in Srimad Bhagavatam, but still, as we heard, very beautiful description, that Bharat heard that Ram is coming, and immediately went and took those shoes from the throne, placed them on his head, and went out to greet Lord Ram. And then he offered those shoes to Lord Ram, wooden sandals, offered them to Lord Ram while just crying and crying, tears of ecstasy. And then Lord Ram embraced him with both arms. And Lord Ram also just cried and cried and cried. because he had also been feeling great separation from Barrett. And they remained embracing, it says, for a long time. You know, we embrace different people occasionally, and for, you know, some seconds usually. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's the description of Lord Nityananda meeting Mother Vendrapuri. Yeah, Mother Vendrapuri. And they embraced for a long time. 3 days. 3 days. They collapsed, they embraced, collapsed on the ground. And they remained embracing for 3 days. This is serious embracing. It's not like our few seconds, oh, very nice. And that's it. And there are a few other cases like that. The great devotees have embraced really for a long time. So it doesn't say actually how long Lord Ram and Bharat embraced for, but it was apparently for a long time. So their amazing transcendental emotions. In this material world, in our material relationships and material situations, of course, we also have emotions. We have emotions of different types, which get stimulated under different circumstances. But the emotions which we have, and which we display, at least, material emotions that people on the material platform display, they're extremely limited. Extremely limited. At best, even in some special material case, where someone loves someone or whatever it may be, some emotional type of stimulation and the emotions are aroused by our standards quite strongly. But even that, compared to transcendental emotion, that's very limited and nothing special. You may know the story, famous story of Sridhar, Radharani's brother. When Krishna left Vrindavan, he said goodbye to Sridhar and told Sridhar. Sridhar questioned him, "Are you coming back? I have a feeling you're not coming back." And Krishna said, "No, no, I'm coming back." So it went back and forth a little between the two of them. And Sridhar kept expressing doubt, "Are you really coming back?" And eventually Krishna said, "Look, I'm coming back. Just wait here. Just wait here until I come. And don't go away. Just wait here." So he waited there, means on the spot. X marks the spot. Not just in the general area, but actually on the very spot. He stood there, first of all, for a few months, then for a year, and people were coming and questioning him, "Come on, you can't just stand there like that." But he said, "No, Krishna told me to just stand right here till he comes back, so I'm standing there." And then for 5 years, then 10 years, and he had not moved 1 millimeter, and 20 years, and 50 years, just waiting for Krishna to come, because Krishna had told him. And eventually Krishna came back and embraced him 4,500 years later in the form of Lord Chaitanya, and told him, see, I told you I'd come back. So this is transcendental mood, transcendental feelings. It's just, you know, these high-level transcendental emotions is just another dimension altogether. Although, in a certain sense, the material emotions we and the people in general experience, they're related. They're related. Or they're connected, in fact. But they're just perverted reflections and very corrupted and covered and severely reduced. Extremely severely reduced. Yes, so here, this is a very emotional occasion, reunion after years of separation and not really knowing if they would come back or how they were or what was going on. So very, very wonderful displays of transcendental emotions. In Nectar of Devotion, it's described in different contexts that different devotees on different levels, their hearts melt or start melting with different degrees of stimulation. There are different types of hearts which melt or react to Krishna conscious stimulation to different degrees and in different ways. So first of all, there's a heart of lack, shalak. You know what I mean? Lack. Like the house the Pandavas were put in, you know, in Mahabharata. They were put in the house of lack, and it looked like a house. And it was a house, it was a house. But because it was made of lack, it was combustible. And indeed, that was the whole idea, to burn the house down and kill them. So there can be a heart like lack. Means hard. But if you apply fire sufficiently, then even that hard lack will start melting. Yes. Under the influence, like a strong influence of some Krishna conscious stimulus. Then there's a heart, a second type of heart, a heart like butter. Butter is also normally hard, something like that, yeah, basically solid. But you apply fire to butter and quickly it starts melting. It doesn't take long at all. It's much quicker than lack. So a heart like butter means that the devotee, well, a heart like lack means normally the devotee does not really display much spiritual emotion. But when there's some very powerful spiritual stimulation, then some emotion comes. This is the heart like lack. Then the heart made of butter, heart like butter, is normally also relatively solid, but you start applying some Krishna conscious heat, Krishna conscious stimulation, and fairly quickly that heart will melt and transcendental emotion will manifest quite quickly. Although initially, not just initially, takes a little while, but then it responds. And there, there's a heart like nectar. The heart like nectar is always liquid. Always liquid, always melted, in other words. Always in that condition of powerful transcendental emotion. And some stimulus comes in some Krishna conscious way, and immediately the heart moves like liquid moves if there's some influence, liquid, some waves come. And there may be two influences at one time, or three, or four, on that heart, which is like nectar. And so you get, at the same time, these different powerful transcendental emotions coming and coming together and mixing. And finally, when you get so many stimulations at the same time, acting on that heart like nectar, and there becomes just, you know, like total movement of the nectarian heart, then this is called Mahabhava. Not just one stimulation, not just two, not just one type of emotion, not just two, but all transcendental emotions simultaneously. This is called Mahabhava, which is only seen generally in Srimati Radharani, Lord Chaitanya, and sometimes one or a few others, great, great associates of the Lord. So when Lord Ram returned, it was also very amazing emotional situation. Devotees just becoming overpowered in ecstasy that our Lord has returned. So it's very heartwarming in that sense, the return of the Lord. So that is, like we said, in the popular sense, this is how at least devotees understand. You know, in the world of Hinduism, there's so many ideas of what is Diwali and what it's observing and something, something, something. But for the devotees, and this is the main thing, although we note, it's the day of the Dhammadhalila. It's the day Krishna killed Narakasura. We also note those important things. But otherwise, we focus on Sita, Ram, Lakshman, and Hanuman, and the return to Ayodhya, and that just wonderful, wonderful reunion. Let me just close by telling you a little story, which I'm sure many of you have heard before. They returned, and Hanuman was there, and so many of them were there. Even Vibhishan came, although Lord Ram installed him as king on Lanka, but still Vibhishan came for the coronation and stayed on for some time. So Hanuman was there, and Sita Well, he had seen her so far only in Lanka. They had not met before Lanka. And Hanuman had not seen Sita with Sindur in her parting, the red, which married women are meant to wear any age. So there's Hanuman, and then one day, just like, you know, immediately they just arrived, and Mother Sita started wearing sindoor again, because she had not been able to, obviously on Lanka she had certainly not been able to, but now she started wearing sindoor in her plaiting, not just a little red dot. And Hanuman didn't know what is this, because in monkey society it appears the married women monkeys don't wear sindoor. So Hanuman saw this and he went out to Sita and said, "What is this? What is this red on your head? Are you all right? Did you hit your head or something?" And Sita said, No. This is sindoor. I wear it for my husband, for Lord Ram, because it brings auspiciousness to my husband. If I wear it, he will live a long life and have good health. This is why I wear the sindoor," Sita said. And Lord Ram said, Hanuman said, Really? You're wearing it for Ram? You mean it's good for Ram?" And Sita said, "It's very good for Ram. That's why I wear it all the time." And Hanuman became very thoughtful. Good for Ram. And he went on. And then Lord Ram came. Sita remained in that place. And Ram came and they were talking. And suddenly, a red figure, red from top to toe, jumped out in front of them. And they were shocked. "Who is this? What is happening?" And Lord Ram saw, "It's Hanuman." And Lord Ram said, "Hanuman, why have you done this? What is this? Is it sindoor? Why? You covered yourself in sindoor. Why?" And Hanuman said, "Well, Mother Sita told me she wears just a little in her party because it's good for you. And me, I really want the best for you. So, little bit in the parting, I'm just going to wear it all over. Then it will be really good for you." And Lord Ram said, "Thank you, Hanuman, but it's all right. You don't have to do that." So you get all over North India, at least, you get these little shrines with little red or orange hanumans. Yeah. So ladies, married ladies, now you know. If you want your husband to live a long way and be healthy and strong, you wear sindoor in your parting. Yes. And if you want to collect the insurance. That is a very joyful occasion. You know, like we said, these transcendental emotions. We've also felt reunion. We've met someone after a long time, and oh, it's very nice. But not like this. These emotions are in other dimensions. Very rich and very amazing. And this pastime, in the different pastimes of Lord Ram, this is one of the main pastimes or events in which emotion comes out. Emotion comes out so much. So we have a couple of questions here. Let's try to quickly answer them. This is a good one. You'll like this. You'll like this. This will go down in the list, the book of that, you know, the special questions. Hari Bol, does Lord Krishna have a surname? But anyway, well, he does actually. He is a member of the Yadu dynasty. So they're recognized as Yadavas. It's like a surname. And even you go to India now, like around Vrindavan area, the Yadavas, there's just thousands and millions of Yadavas. And they all know they're descended from Krishna, Krishna's family. They're just all over the Vrindavan area. Why do Tamil Hindu Gujarati celebrate Diwali on different days? You know, I think you should ask the Tamil Hindu Gujaratis. You know, what I was told is because Lord Ram passed through the different areas on different days. You know, if he's traveling by foot, he must have been going fast. One day in Tamil Nadu, next day up wherever it is, in UP or somewhere, you know, you got to moat. Anyway, he went on an aeroplane. Is it all right to worship Lord Rama? Yes. It's all right. It's good. In fact, if you are a devotee, then you're already worshipping Lord Ram every day by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, dear Maharaj, how do I get my 7-year-old child to chant? After he bathes, he lovingly offers water and loves doing puja, but he just won't chant. Well, you know, I wouldn't try forcing him too much, because then he may develop like a resentment. Obviously, already he doesn't have a taste for it. And even though he likes the other things, which is very nice. But what you can can do, if all else fails, try bribery. Bribery is very, extremely effective. Two things are effective: bribery and flattery. Bias. So bribery, tell them, listen, you chant one round, I will give you, you know, something, a suit or something, whatever he might be attracted to. So even though obviously it's mixed, he's doing it because he wants the sweet or whatever it is. But at least he's doing it. At least he's doing it. Just like Ajamil was chanting the name of Narayan. But as far as he was concerned, he was calling for his son. And he was not chanting the holy names for the sake of chanting the holy names. He was just addressing his son. But he got the benefit, but he was chanting the holy name. And he got great, tremendous, tremendous benefit. So anyway, try something like that. Make a deal with your child. You've got to think creatively, see. In life, you've got to think creatively. And then you can get all sorts of wonderful things to happen. But if he offers water, to who? Maybe Tulsi, I guess. That's fine. And loves doing puja, that's wonderful. Encourage him. Okay. I'm not even exactly sure what the program is. So, all right. Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki Shri Prabhupada ki Govardhan Puja Mahotsava tomorrow ki